You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
This is where Wisconsin wakes up. It's Daybreak with Brian Noonan and Jamie Martinson. Here are your hosts, Brian and Jamie.
Well, one out of two ain't bad. Good morning. It's Brian Noonan. Jamie is out of town until Monday. She's doing some business for the company, but she will return, so have no fear, because when Jamie is away, the boys come to play. Executive producer Frank is here, and our tech producer Parker is here, and you are here, and we want to hear from you all morning, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, 6 o'clock on a Thursday morning. Inauspicious start to the day. First of all, good morning, gentlemen. Glad you're here. Have you ever yawned so much that you drooled?
Yes.
About 15 minutes ago, I'm sitting here going over, refurbishing, getting ready for the show, and I yawned and I looked down and I had a giant drool draw all the way down. I was like, oh, I pray that it dries before the show or I can hide it with the microphone.
Good thing but is it's both. Not a sign of age because I've done it before.
Okay, yeah, that's good. If I was just, you know.
If you were just drooling.
It's going to make for Parker just keeps going, oh my God, a look into the future is the worst look of all.
Is this how I'm going to be?
Oh, yeah. Man. See, Frank's much younger than I am, and he's drooling when he yawns, too.
Drooling, angry at the world.
Yeah, the whole thing. Parker, now, you were here yesterday, and of course, Frank, when Jamie's away, Frank likes to reserve the first segment a lot of times for his personal vendettas, his personal beefs.
He does.
And yesterday again, he said to me, save the first segment. I've got to give Parker some advice.
Oh, God.
All right, Frank.
I'm glad to hear that's how this is being pitched, because I opened the show notes for this morning and I go, oh, that's probably for me. Cool.
It is. It's for you and everybody else out there.
All right, Frank.
I'm gonna let everybody in our audience into my circle of trust and tell you about a little something.
Oh boy, here we go.
Brian, here's my question.
Yes, sir.
Have you ever thrown an adult tantrum?
Oh,
for 3 hours
you mean
every morning.
This week, or yeah, well, 3 hours every morning.
In your relationship, and the reason I'm saying this.
In my relationship, yes, of course I have.
Here's the thing. So, we've talked about this before as well. I'm a larger person.
Mm-hmm.
You also come from the large person club.
I do.
And if I hear the phrase "you need more fiber" one more time, I'm going to scream. Parker, I'm getting to the advice for you.
All right, wait.
I was going to say, this doesn't feel like relationship advice.
Nope, we're getting there.
Did you have a tantrum in the doctor's office?
Nope, I did not.
So your lovely wife is telling you need more fiber?
I hear it from the non-medical professional, the one who didn't go to medical school.
Oh, well, I love medical advice from people who, you know, think doctor's office is Dr. Pepper.
I do my own research.
Yeah, so wait a minute. Why would... All right, we need more background. Why would your wife say you need more fiber? Did she hear you pulling an Elvis yesterday?
No.
Okay. Try to paint a nice picture. I don't want to get graphic.
No, it's the new hip thing in weight loss is you eat a lot of protein, you eat a lot of fiber. Maybe you need more fiber in your diet. And that's all I hear. So she took it upon herself to go out and buy high fiber oatmeal for my breakfasts. To which
I hope you're
said,
not going to try to eat that during the show.
I'm not. Yeah. To which I said, I don't want this.
Okay.
This is not how I want. She said, well, you're eating it because I
bought
it.
Isn't oatmeal fibrous enough? The oats?
Yeah.
Well,
isn't
I think
that
this
like
is,
the whole
this
point?
Is extra.
Extra oats?
The point,
they
gentlemen,
just put in more
is it
oats.
Rope? What kind? They just had more oats.
Oatmeal with extra oats.
I think Parker, Frank is frustrated that we're focusing on the oatmeal and not the underlying.
The oatmeal's not the point.
Okay, the oatmeal's not the point.
Oatmeal's not the point. The point is I put my foot down and I said, no, I'm not eating this.
Well, good
so
for
every
you.
Day now, I get, did you eat your oatmeal? Did you eat the oatmeal?
You got to be
kidding. What'd you have for breakfast? Oh, every day. So.
Wow, I had cheese. Just tell her cheese. So that's all I'm eating is cheese. I'm all bound up.
Everyone, I did something yesterday.
Oh, no.
You threw out the oatmeal.
You did, didn't you?
I didn't.
Well, you trumped
the,
it and no, took no, a bowl no, no, and whipped no, 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 it against
no.
the wall.
Gentlemen, I'm smarter than that. Give me that.
Well, we'll
you
take, see.
Yeah, you approach
we'll judge
life
after
a little
the
grace.
After the story.
I took a walk to Dunkin'.
Yeah.
got myself a coffee and a breakfast sandwich because I had a reward. And then I'm looking at the oatmeal, and I get a text. It's like, you better have got eaten that oatmeal. So
Are you kidding?
Yes. I swear. So
all right.
She's hyper fixated.
Yeah.
So I made the oatmeal.
Oh boy.
I took one bite and I threw the rest out. But I left enough remnants in the sink to make it look like I did eat the oatmeal.
Okay.
Why did you throw it out?
Huh?
Well, one, it's not a tantrum. But yeah. Well, he threw it out because he didn't
want to
eat it.
Brian, it's a tantrum that I'm making this much of a fuss over it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I hear tantrum. I hear screaming, yelling, crying,
no.
Banging on
this
stuff.
This is more
That's
of
a tantrum.
I don't want to tantrum.
You're waging a protest, and I like it.
So I hid the evidence of my actual breakfast.
Oh, I would have left that right on the table.
It made a crime scene. out of the oatmeal.
Right, so Parker, but how long now are you going to keep up this ruse? Are you going to have to do this?
I already did it. I did it once.
Okay.
The pressure's off. I am my seat is no longer hot. I'm off the hot seat.
Because now you've tried it and it doesn't matter.
The Bears beat the Packers, Brian. There's no
hey,
more talk
whoa.
About it right
let's
now.
Let's just catch a straight here.
So she's
because
one instance is enough to get her laser focus off this oatmeal fiber deal?
The hyperfixation is gone.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes.
So it doesn't seem like she was really invested in your fibrous health, that she just was fixated on this oatmeal that she bought.
She's fixated about my well-being. Chad, yeah, sure. But I get it.
About her well-being.
I'm a grown man, Chad. I get the point.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's... dare I say, and please, Frank, I don't mean any disrespect to your lovely bride. It sounds naggy to me.
It
sounds like a woman who is nagging and nagging and then deserves to be told, I am a grown man. I'll eat what I want for breakfast. If I drop dead of a heart attack, I will be done listening to your constant droning on about fiber. For the love of God,
but
shut
Brian,
up.
Brian, that doesn't keep the peace. And my message to young Parker. Is sometimes you got to do stupid things to keep the peace.
You lied to your wife.
She doesn't know that.
You made a crime scene for your wife
to
find.
You manufactured a story to shut her up.
Did you throw out the entire box or just like the bowl?
Just the bowl of the package. There's still two more in there, I think.
Okay. Right, but when those aren't eaten, don't you think that's going to raise suspicion?
But here's what's going to happen.
She's off of you every day now.
Listen.
I'll give you that.
Maybe. We don't know what's going to happen today. What?
Let's take worst case scenario.
Yeah.
She eats one of them, right? That's going to leave
one
packet.
Does she need more fiber?
I think she has it for like a quick breakfast to take to work if she's going into the office.
Frank, I thought you were going to say, I think she does.
I'm sure she does. We all do. Parker, we all need more fiber in our
diet. I eat 6 feet of twine every day. I don't need any more
fiber. Go ask RFK.
Yeah, but he gets his fiber from bear
like
butts.
Organs
bear butts.
And,
yeah.
Just... yeah.
Wow.
She's going to eat one more packet. That's going to leave one left. That one, I could just throw away.
Do you honestly
believe...
It's
not throwing away the whole box.
But do you believe then she'll go, wow, we ate this oatmeal. It must be great. Let's get some more oatmeal. And the
no,
oatmeal never
I already
stops.
Planted the seeds. I already said, meh, I just don't think it's for me.
I don't know. I think you have to go through this one more time. I think she buys it one more time.
Yeah, I don't think this is done. She is maybe the day-to-day stops, but once those packets stay longer than she thinks they're going to stay, I think you're going to be in trouble again. Then you're going to have to stand up, Frank. You're a man. Put that spine in. Tell your lovely bride that you'd... No, you said it, but you didn't back it up. You went through a whole rigmarole to create this fake scenario while you were enjoying your Dunkin' Quick sandwich, which sounds much so better good. Than double yeah, fiber oatmeal.
So much better.
Yeah, of course so it does. So much better. Cleans Dunkin', you out just as easy. Us. Just everything, boom. Nice.
How bad now, was the oatmeal? Was it that bad?
Did you put a lot of brown sugar on it?
No, I just...
Oh, you got to put... Yeah, but like
you
got
to give it. You have to give things a chance.
Do you?
Yeah, before you start enhancing it, you got to try it as it's intended.
Yeah, but you only had
maybe
one bite.
Eaten enough oatmeal over
When's
time.
The last time
was
you
it like
ate oatmeal?
Flavored?
Yeah, it's like brown sugar.
Oh, all right. Hmm. Last time I ate oatmeal, probably a little over a year ago, because it doesn't go with my weight loss plan. I don't need those kind of fibers. But I do like a nice oatmeal, maple brown sugar, the Quaker Quick Oats. But they're just regular oats. There's no double, you know, they're not doubly fortified with more fiber to make me fibrous. I don't know what, it's all crazy. But yeah, that would not go. I've been married a lot longer than you. That whole thing would not go over well in this house.
The point is, Parker, sometimes you got to keep the peace.
Okay.
Deception choose your battles. Is it, okay. Choose your battles is a piece of advice I would, pardon me, I would back up.
And
I
don't
go
think
along
throwing away the whole box would have been a good battle
no,
to choose.
No, that would have been bad. I would have just, but I would, see, that's where you and I differ, Frank. I would have never eaten it. I would have never tried to cover it up. I would have
So
just
you're
going to
die on
no.
that hill?
I'll be mortally wounded on that hill. I don't know if I'll die altogether. But I'm going to say, listen, I know what I have to do. Don't you love me like I am? What's all this eat more fiber BS? Now, if you had said to your wife, listen, I know you've been, and this is hypothetical. Mm-hmm. I know you've been concerned about your weight and you were trying, here, why don't you eat this? And then you called her every day. Did you eat that? Did you eat that? Did you eat that? Did you eat that? How do you think she would have reacted? Would she have been calm, or would she have told you to go pound sand and she would have thrown the box out and it wouldn't have mattered?
Depends on what it is.
If it's that.
I'm trying to think of something where I could flip the tables on her.
I feel like this is sowing a really bad situation.
No, Brian's giving me awful advice.
What advice do you want? No, come on. I'm not giving you awful advice. I'm telling you, it sounds
eye
like...
Eye for an eye.
With all due respect, no. I'm just saying... I'm not saying you should do that. I'm saying if the shoe had been on the other foot, mm-hmm. if this had been you, mm-hmm. would your wife have appreciated
no.
you addressing God, the issue no. like she's been addressing the issue? Would your wife have appreciated you constantly calling her and haranguing her to eat this oatmeal that you clearly do not want to eat? If the script was flipped, I'm not saying to do something like that. I'm just saying if it had been that way, would she have reacted like you did?
Yeah, she probably would have done the same thing, except for hiding her actual breakfast.
Wow. You guys are duplicitous in the Frank house. Everybody coming up with scams and scenarios.
Hey, you got to do what you got to do.
I guess so. All right, when we come back, hey, the president's in China. We'll hear a little from him and hear what's going on over there. Good morning. This is Daybreak. I'm Brian Noonan, and this is the Civic Media.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Wisconsin wakes up here. Back to Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Good morning. Glad you're here. I'm Brian Noonan. Jamie will be back next week. I want to know what your initial reactions are to the president's visit to China. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Just a quick sidebar. People are still sending messages on social media with recommendations for high-fiber oatmeal for Frank. I think you're missing the point. He doesn't want to eat high-fiber oatmeal. He just doesn't. He wants to go get his quiz sandwich, and that's what he's going to have for breakfast. All right, so, you know, the president has gone over to China to meet with Xi Jinping, and Ping, Jing, Xi, we'll call him, hailed the U.S.-China relationship as the world's most consequential, telling President Trump, quote, we must make it work and never mess it up. Earlier in the summit, Xi warned Taiwan, quote, is the most important issue in China-U.S. relations, and it could create a very dangerous situation if mishandled. Well, the president, when he got there, first of all, Xi did not come to the airport to meet him. No, the ambassador, the U.S. ambassador was there. The vice president was there. Here came the president. And then, oh, man, Donald Trump couldn't help but butter the buns of President Xi Jinping.
I really look very much forward to our discussion. It's a big discussion. There are those that say this is maybe the biggest summit ever. They can never remember anything like it. It's, I can say in the United States, it's people aren't talking about anything else.
Oh, I beg to differ. I'm not calling the president a liar, but on this show, this is the first we've talked about it. We've talked about the war. We've talked about all the other shenanigans that the president has gotten into. We talk about all of that. But how many of us are really talking about this summit? Parker, I'll take you as a focus group. You're a young man. You been talking about nothing other than this Chinese summit?
Oh, there's nothing that intrigues me less.
Oh, okay, good. I was starting to think maybe I was off and you were wholly consumed.
Oh, no.
You would stop thinking about the Roman Empire and started thinking about the Chinese, the U.S.-Chinese summit.
Roman Empire. I hadn't thought of that.
See? I guess what everybody's thinking about. So anyway, but we know that the president loves to build everything up. People are saying it's biggest summit ever. I don't know. There's been some Middle Eastern summits, Russia summits back in the day, all kinds of summits. But anyway, so Xi welcomed U.S. business leaders who traveled with Trump, like Elon Musk, who was told he wasn't going to be excused from court, but went to China anyway. And the president's son, because, you know, why not bring the son along? I'm sure there's some business dealings that we are not privy to yet. But Tim Cook went along. Elon Musk, as I said, was there. And they came to China to pay respects and build businesses. And the president went on to say what he hopes is going to happen at this summit.
It's an honor to be with you. It's an honor to be your friend. And the relationship between China and the USA is going to be better than ever before.
Sure, if China gets to do whatever they want. Well, that's all well and good that he said those things, but a confidential U.S. intelligence analysis details how China is exploiting the war in Iran to maximize its advantage over the United States across military, economic, diplomatic, and other fields. That does not really surprise you, does it? Should it? I don't think so. The assessment, the official said, was produced this week for the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Dan Kane, and has raised alarm within the Pentagon about the geopolitical costs of Washington's standoff with Tehran as the president enters high-stake talks with President Xi Jinping in China. They're in Beijing, and they're going to have these conversations. And this is so reminiscent to me of when he meets with Putin, because Xi and Putin are skilled negotiators. They have immense, not only military, but political backgrounds and expertise that our president completely lacks. And if you think for a second that, well, he's been a businessman his whole life, it's a completely different level, my friends. And he's out of his depth. He is always out of his depth when he meets with these kind of leaders because they know exactly how to play him. At least with other presidents, whether they were Republican or Democrat, one, they surrounded themselves with really smart people, which he does not. Two, they did not have all their cards on the table. They did not make everything known. He is on Truth Social nonstop, giving away all his thoughts and strategies. He has no idea what he's doing, and yet he's over there. So this proposal or this briefing, I guess, was put together by the Joint Chiefs Intelligence Directorate. The report uses what is known as the DIME framework to assess China's response to the Iran conflict via four instruments of state power: diplomatic, informational, military, and economic. And officials talked about the finding, which has not previously been reported. So China has sold weapons to Persian Gulf allies of the U.S. as they struggled to defend their military bases. Beijing has also assisted countries around the world struggling to meet their energy needs after the U.S.-Israeli attacks prompted Iran to close the Strait of Hormuz. So while we are being drained of our munitions that would be crucial in case there was a standoff against China, China is ingratiating themselves to our allies and former allies and people in the Persian Gulf, just, you know, getting as the president and Hegseth and everybody else loves to say when they're talking about the Ukraine, that Zelensky doesn't have the cards. Well, guess what, friends? We are giving our cards away, and we don't have them anymore. So we're going to see what comes out of this talk. I am not very optimistic that things are going to really happen. But, you know, listen, my optimism has been beat out of me over the last decade by what's going on in this country. So we are going to talk about this, too, because this, I think, is more important, and this is what we should all be talking about. Wisconsin is lagging behind when it comes to kids reading and math scores in school. Why is that, and what can we do? We'll get into that in just a couple of minutes. Don't forget, you can always, always download the free Civic Media app and take the show wherever you are. But right now, you are here, and I am here. I'm Brian Noonan. This is Daybreak, and this is the Civic Media Network.
Local news, community stories, and the conversations that matter most. Now, more Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Good morning. Glad you're here at 6:35. I'm Brian Noonan. This is Daybreak. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Do you think it is time for us to stop blaming the pandemic for our kids' educational shortfalls? It's been 6 years, and people, especially some people in education, are still blaming the pandemic. As somebody who was teaching during the pandemic, I had to do remote teaching, and I came back afterwards in classrooms. And yeah, the first year back was difficult. I even gave the first 2 years back where we're kind of using the pandemic as a crutch. But I think we're past that. The reason I bring this up is because Wisconsin students have struggled to recover from with their scores and everything since the pandemic. That has left the state ranked toward the bottom for academic growth in math and reading, according to a new report. Wisconsin ranks 33rd out of 38 states. And I know you're going to go, hey, dummy, there's 50 states. Yes, but there's not data from a number of states, including Illinois, Kansas, Maine, New York, North Dakota, Vermont. So some of those states, the other 12, look at me doing math really fast because I went to school before the pandemic. Thank you, Parker.
Huzzah
indeed. So those 12 states, there's not enough data to include in the report. But out of 38 states, 33rd is not good. So that's in math. Wisconsin ranks 33rd out of 38. They rank 30th out of 35 in reading. That's according to the Education Scoreboard. The report is released annually, and it's a collaboration between Harvard University, Stanford University, and Dartmouth College. Three questionable universities at best. And I say that tongue firmly in cheek. These are top-tier educational institutions. So the report describes a learning recession in the United States that began years before the pandemic in 2013 when math and reading scores stalled and then began to decline. So how is Wisconsin shown in this report? Well, mixed reviews, as I mentioned. So chronic absenteeism is a huge problem. That's described as missing more than 10% of classes. It dropped a little bit in 2022 to 17%. It dropped from 22% to 17% in 2025. It was 22% in 2022. It dropped to 17% in 2025. But it remains higher than pre-pandemic levels. Now, you could say, well, Brian, kids miss school. No, at some point you have to look at other factors. If there's absenteeism, are there problems at home? Is it a parental issue? Is it the kids are ditching and their parents think they're in school, which is then a communication issue between the schools and the home? A lot of things. But absenteeism, that's an easy fix. I'm not sure if they still have these, but back in the day, Parker, there used to be something called truant officers. And they went around and they found kids that were not in school all the time. And they tried to figure it out. Mm-hmm. And I know, like, we had one family at my school who the kids were either always absent or always tardy. Sure. And that was turned out to be an issue at home. And it was an issue with they had a single mom who was dating some different guys, and there were issues there. So then the children's services had to get involved. But that was, so you can fix absenteeism. Anyway, we'll get off absenteeism for a minute, and we'll go to a little good news. Wisconsin students are performing better at math now than in 2022, but are 0.35 grade levels behind their peers from 2019. That's approaching grade level. It's never good. You always want your kids at grade level or beyond. Beyond would be the goal, but the drop-dead point is you got to get kids to grade level. So a third of a year behind, not great, but better. Students are reading 0.24 grade levels below 2022 levels and are about half a grade level behind 2019 numbers. That is startling as well. The Sun Prairie area, Oshkosh area, and West Milwaukee school districts are a full grade level behind 2019 math scores. All right. I know we have people listening in those areas. If your children are in school and you're either hearing this news for the first time, which I doubt, you've probably heard this before, what's going on in your school districts? What are they using as reasoning to you as to why kids are a full grade level behind? You know, to put it in real time, if you're in second grade, that means you're barely reading at a first grade level. And let me tell you something, rarely does that get better without serious intervention. Because if you're behind in second grade, you're struggling. You're not going to catch up. You're going to struggle then in third grade, and it just keeps getting moved down the line. And now you've got kids going into middle school who are having a hard time reading. And granted, it's not going to be the entire class. And I know there's a small percentage that lower the curve or make the stats a little off. But Sun Prairie, Oshkosh, if you're near the Milwaukee area in West Allis, what's going on? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Now, Fond du Lac, Cedarburg, and Waukesha are above average in math and reading, and Racine is emerging as a leader in reading. Hamilton, Elmbrook, and Verona area students are excelling in math. Fond du Lac School District was included among the report's districts on the rise, so shout out to Fond du Lac. Very good. What's Fond du Lac doing that other districts are not? Is it all economics? Is it teacher retention? Are you getting older teachers that are on their way out and are, you know, maybe not up on the newest things? Are you getting younger teachers who don't know how to manage a classroom and are still learning their craft, so they're not able to do it? Are we lacking reading and math interventionists at these districts? Why is this going on? So good for Fond du Lac. The district has, quote, shifted the role of the principal from a building manager to a true instructional leader, said Superintendent Matt Steinbreth in a news release. That does make a difference. I think principals need to come from the classroom. They have to have spent some time in the classroom, and they need to be hands-on with curriculum and education and not sit in their office. And there's not a lot of principals who do that anymore. That's kind of the old mentality of principals. But so at least good for some of these districts who are doing well, and good for Fond du Lac that is doing much better. So then the study looked at students recovering from the pandemic. And this is where I have an issue that I stated at the beginning. The report said the pandemic-era learning recovery was U-shaped, with the richest and poorest districts making significant gains, while middle-income districts fall behind. It's 6 years, folks. We've got to stop looking for excuses and looking for crutches. The pandemic was, as rough as the pandemic was on a large portion of students, it was also good for a minority of the student population. There were some kids, and I only tell these stories anecdotally. I know I don't have a lot of numbers based on everything. Some of this is just anecdotal evidence. We had kids who struggled in the classroom because they were distracted by other kids, there were behavior issues, all kinds of things. When they were focused during the pandemic in the Zoom calls and doing the work at home, they were more engaged and their grades went up. Now, again, I grant you that that is a minority of the student population, but it shows that we can't blame everything on this pandemic. So now it comes down to income. Well, conventional wisdom would say, sure, richer districts are doing better. Well, the poorer districts are doing well too. So who are these people in the middle? The report defines a middle-income district as having 30 to 70% of students receiving subsidized school lunches. That's not a high bar to, that's not a high bar to cross. I don't think lunch should be the arbiter. So are they doing, they're not doing as well in math and reading because they get subsidized lunch? That seems to be, am I reading this wrong? I don't think so. As I read this yesterday, I was like, that doesn't make any sense. So free lunch equates to not doing better in math and reading in these middle-income districts. The report said math scores started to rebound in 2022, but reading scores lagged behind. Last year was the first sign of reading recovery. And we've talked about this so many times here on the show. We've talked about districts that now we were just starting to get reading interventionists in some of the districts here in Wisconsin, which are, if you're unfamiliar, these are people who are trained. Most of them were classroom teachers before, and then they've gone into more training, and they are reading specialists. All they do is help kids with reading. And there are math interventionists too. And if kids need that, we should make that available, because a classroom teacher can only do so much for kids who are falling behind. Because as hard as it is to hear, and as hard as it may be to believe, sometimes the good of the many outweigh the good of the few. So that's why you have these interventionists, because they can focus on the good of the few. Get those kids the help they need. Bring them up to grade level. The kids who are borderline now have the borderline or above, and you also have groups, you know, you have people who can pull groups of the higher achieving kids, so they're not being left behind either. Then you can focus on that wide swath of students in the middle who are close, and you know what it's going to take to get them a little closer, so you can push a little harder. But we should all be worried about this. And you all remember when the big buzz around education was how far we've fallen behind Asian countries. That, well, the president's in China. Oh, these Chinese kids and kids in other countries, they are doing so well in math and reading, and their scores are out, and now they're going to completely dwarf us when it comes to technology and things. And listen, America's no slouch when it comes to technology, but I saw some of these Chinese robots. David Muir was following the president yesterday. Saw some of these Chinese ambulatory robots, and it freaked me out because these guys were doing all kinds of stuff. They were dancing. They were doing martial arts. They were getting up off the ground. It looked like they got up off the ground easier than I get up off the ground. It was insane to watch. So, you know, you want us making those robots? Our kids need to know math. You want a kid to do anything in life, a kid needs to know how to read. So we need to focus on that more than we're focusing on it now. I know districts are working hard. I know they are. But stop blaming the pandemic. Start focusing on the issues that are really affecting your school. And again, shout out to Fond du Lac. Good for you for being a district on the rise. And good to Cedarburg and Waukesha, Hamilton, Elmbrook, Verona. Good for you guys for making those strides and getting better. And everybody else, let's pick up the pace. Let's work on it a little more. Okay, when we come back, man, this story has a bee in my bonnet because adults who are really overreacting, in my opinion, are sending a bad message to students in their district. So we'll talk about that. And you can always visit our new social media pages on Instagram and Facebook. It's Daybreak with Brian and Jamie. This is, of course, Daybreak. I am the Brian in there, Brian Newton. And this is the Civic Media.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Want to join in on the conversation? Call or text 855-75-CIVIC. Now back to Brian and Jamie.
Good morning. Welcome back. Parker, is this the music we're going to be talking about?
Yes,
yes, I figured it was. Very good. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Listen to this for a second. Okay. Very big instrumental piece. You can hear the different instruments. Obviously something that can be done by, I don't know, a school's wind symphony. Now, if you don't know anything about this, and maybe you still don't, does that music send any sort of message to you? It does not to me. It sounds like, and I went to a bunch of, my daughter was in marching band, jazz band, the symphony. I went to a lot of high school music performances. And it's most 99% instrumentals, which is this is. All right, so why am I saying anything about that piece of music? Well, because once again, a narrow-minded minority of people in a district have decided to impose their bias, their fear of other ideas, and just their overall ignorance on a group of people who I believe they are trying to marginalize. And I want to know from you after you hear this, what message does this send to students who are in the LGBTQ plus community? Because I'm looking at you, Watertown High School, and the school board in Watertown, not the high school themselves, because they didn't do anything wrong. I believe the school board is way out of line, and I'm going to tell you why. So Watertown's high school's Wind Symphony will not be allowed to play that music that you just heard because it has ties to LGBTQ history. So they cannot play it at an upcoming spring concert, which was supposed to be held later this next week or later this month. So the decision was hotly debated. There's video of people screaming at each other, and there's video of these self-righteous, pompous board members. You know the kind. We talked about conservative white Christian nationalism last week or the week before on the show. You know these kind of people. They're the same people behind book burnings. They're the same people behind telling, you know, who are fixated on what bathrooms people use. It's people who just want to be all up in your business and think their way is the only way to think and believe. Well, it was a scene at this board meeting, but then the board members voted 7-1 to prohibit the Wind Symphony from playing A Mother of a Revolution by Omar Thomas. It is an instrumental that was inspired by Marsha Johnson. She is a trans woman who credited with being an instigator of the 1969 Stonewall Uprising, which was a pivotal event in the LGBTQ liberation movement, that according to the composer's website. Now, again, Parker, can you play us just a couple seconds? I know I'm... Thank you, Parker. Instrumental. No message about LGBTQ. That does... Parker, you were a musician, or you've been around...
I was in choir, yeah.
You were in choir. So you sang. So there were lyrics. So that's the ability to get a message out. If you have a song with a message and you have lyrics, that's one thing. You hear this song. If you didn't know this story, would there be a message behind that music?
With no knowledge of the context of it all, no, I would have no idea at all.
No, it's just a big instrumental piece.
Mm-hmm.
Well, again, it's obviously very, it's going to make children want to be gay, I guess, or start a riot. I guess if you listen to the Watertown School Board members, Lori Hoffman, the board's president, she was the only one with sense, the only board member to vote against banning the piece. Board member Craig Wortman, though, oh, man, he didn't come to the meeting. And the board's decision was met with a loud round of boos and shouting from most of the people in attendance before they walked out. Hoffman said she was in favor of allowing the piece to be played while including a disclaimer. Why? Saying that the piece reflects the opinion of Omar Thomas and does not reflect the views or opinions of the district, and that the district does not embrace violence as an agent of social change. My God, people. I'm not one of these. I'm not a guy who preaches against being anti-woke or anti-this, because I think woke is a useless term. It means nothing. But at some point, lighten up, Francis, because this is a piece of music. I can see there being consternation if you were singing a song that had a very strong pro-violent overthrow message. That's one thing. The music teacher, actually the director of the symphony at Watertown High School, actually sent a note home before they even started rehearsing this to the parents of the students in the symphony, explaining the piece of music and saying, listen, you can opt out. It's okay. So the people involved knew what it was. One of the people, the vice president, Sam Unwinkel, praised Ledoux for informing parents about the piece of music and providing them the opt-out, but he said the policy did not prevent the piece from being considered inappropriate for a public school. He cited Johnson's alleged role in the Stonewall Uprising. That has nothing to do with it. What are you afraid of? What ideas are you afraid to let a high school kid hear and know? And if you don't think that there are LGBTQ students in that school and in your district and in your friends' lives, you are living with your head in the sand. And it is irresponsible and dangerous as a parent. And it is irresponsible and dangerous as a school board member to try to be so worried about everyone's sensibilities that you look past the big picture. The big picture was, this is a piece of music that does not promote any sort of message or violence or anything else. It's a piece of music these kids have worked on, and I think shame on that school board for pulling this piece of music, and congratulations to all the people who fought for it. When we come back, we've got all kinds of S you need to know, because it's the top of the hour. This is Daybreak. I'm Brian Noonan on the Civic Media Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.